Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front room, they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's, your boy Mike Virginia, joined by my buddy over here. There you go, first time.
You nailed it.
Britton Allen, 2 T's, 2 L's. Britton, happy Friday to you, my friend. How's it going?
Happy Friday, everyone. Happy Friday. Mike Virginia is back. We missed you, Mike. We're happy you're here. As we were talking about, I did our Sunday show, Han Solo, and but thankfully a lot of people appeared in the chat. But we're great to have you back, and we got a lot of fun things to talk about baseball wise. I got some hot takes.
Ooh,
is hot takes like, was that like last year? Like, do I need to move on from the old hot take?
Nah, no, not moving on. You never move on from hot takes. I love your hot takes. In fact, I want all of them.
You want all the hot takes.
That's well, right, baby.
Yeah, this has been a pretty good week baseball wise. Yesterday was pretty light.
Yes.
But I want to kick it off, if you don't mind.
Please.
With my gambling tip of the day. Now, Tennessee, where I live, the Tennessee legislature has okayed sports wagering. It's all legal, baby. It's all legal. So, you know, one of the players that I tweeted about was old Chase Meadroth, who I'll try not to burn my bridge too much today, because no one ever lost money betting against rookies, you know.
No one.
No one. This is the dumbest thing. One of the dumber things I've ever done. That's not true. You know what I mean? Is like, go out on a limb for a rookie that's never played in the major. Like, this is going to end well, you know. But anyway, so I looked at the Chicago White Sox lineup today to see where they batted him, and it looks like he's batting seventh.
Okay.
So, I noticed, who's batting third? Oh, it's old friend of the show, Austin Slater. Are you familiar with Austin Slater? Not AC Slater. Yeah. Austin Slater, his brother.
He played for us last year, and we got him in a trade from San Francisco. So, yeah, I'm familiar with him, and that says a lot if he's batting third. Where's Lou Bob hitting? Second?
Second.
Okay.
And then they have Miguel Vargas batting leadoff, which I don't think that's going to happen. Once Chase Meadroth gets his sea legs under him.
Yeah.
But Miguel Vargas has been walking. He's got a 10% walk rate, which I found kind of shocking, frankly. But anyway.
He's an OBP guy.
Yeah. So I was looking at Austin Slater, 33 years old, 32, whatever. He's been around for a while. And I was like, isn't he a lefty killer? Like that kind of rung a bell. So I looked him up on FanGraphs, and he's had like 930 plate appearances against lefties. Now that's just lefties. Obviously he's been against righties, but just lefties, because he's facing a lefty today, Sean Newcomb. So against lefties, his career batting average in over 900 plate appearances is 270.
Hmm.
That's really good for that many plate appearances. That's a lot of success, right?
Yep.
So I went to DraftKings, hits, runs, RBIs over 1.5, which is, so he's got to get two, right?
Plus two RBIs.
Plus 120. for hit, run, plus RBIs.
Hit, run. Okay. Oh.
Hit, runs, yeah, RBIs. Okay. You get plus money for the lefty killer batting third. I really like that. So no matter what happens with Chase Meadroth today, as long I've already put some of the shingles on the Austin Slater bet, so I'm pretty excited about the Chicago White Sox, which you don't get a lot of these days.
I was gonna say that's hard to do, but if it's in plus money there, that's a good thing. Obviously, Sean Newcomb is not a guy that's gonna be overpowering. So, and if he's got a 270 career batting average against lefties, that's a good thing. So hitting third, so he should see the at bats as well, at least four. You got to hope maybe they go into like extra innings or something along those lines too. But out of all of those things, I like that 1.5. I might have to tail old Britton Allen.
Take a look at it. Yeah, plus 120 for a guy batting third with Lou Bob right ahead of him, and all we need is Miguel Vargas to get on base, and then a nice little extra base hit from Austin, and we're good.
Well, you know, there's a saying amongst me and my friends. You know what we say, Britton?
Carpe diem.
That as well. But scared money don't make no money, baby. So
that's right. That's right. And hey, life is short, Mike V, as you and I both know. We're not getting any younger.
Nope.
We got to have a little fun while it lasts, you know?
Damn right. Damn right.
And if it's Austin Slater, it's Austin Slater.
Let's start this weekend off on a good foot here. So yeah, Austin, if you're watching, hook my boy up with the 1.5 here, buddy. Get it going.
It was my birthday this week, Mike V. I don't know if you know that. It was.
Happy birthday, Britton Allen. Chat. That's Thank spam you. The chat here with the happy birthdays for Britton. Spam the
all,
chat.
All I want is Austin Slater to hit the over on 1.5 hits, runs, plus RBIs. He can have two hits. He can have two. He can do whatever he wants. Any combination of runs, hits, and RBIs.
There you
just
go.
As long as it's over one and we're good.
Just Let's get go, it done. Austin. Just get it done. Thank you, everybody, that for watching here.
I was about to say, that was a really long intro that no one was interested in. That's how happy I am that Mike V's back, just because I just ramble.
No, not at all. Not at all. AL Day says, boys, hello from County Down, Northern Ireland. Hard to keep up with the baseball over here. Thanks for watching EA All Day. I assume it's morning time over there, right? Is it morning time in Ireland?
Probably a 6-hour, I bet, somewhere 5-hour difference.
Gotcha. Okay. Eddie says, Britton's got some juicy tidbits. Always, 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 always. Well, he says he wants
to make
some money.
That's what she said. Hey-oh.
Always a room for a joke.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Eddie says he wants to make some money. Well, there you go, Eddie. He just gave you the Austin Slater bet. So, tail him. Let's go. Frank says,
White Sox.
Britton, you were amenable last week, but glad Mike is back. Give me two of you. Thank you very much, Frank. Appreciate it. And Eddie says, yes, I concur.
Y'all are kind. And thank y'all for showing up for the Sunday show and last week too.
Yeah.
Hey man, I tell you what, this community is awesome. And if they're here to see Mike V,
no one's here.
Maybe I'm like the appetizer.
No, you are the main
course.
I'm the
spinach artichoke dip, Mike V. Let's say you go to Applebee's, you and your wife, your beautiful wife, and your lovely family. So y'all go to Applebee's, no rules, just no, that's Outback. So anyway, you go to Applebee's, y'all are hungry, right? You're looking up and down the menu. You've got your spinach artichoke dip. You've got your bruschetta. You've got your mozzarella sticks. What's your go-to appetizer when you take the fam out?
Man, my wife is a big fan of the chips and salsa and the queso double dips there. So if you if they have that, that's a must when we go out. But usually some type of dip, like a spinach artichoke dip, I would say is probably a close second. I think those are it. We do like the, like the Tex-Mex egg rolls types things, those kinds of things
are awesome. Yeah.
But you know what else does it for me is like the sampler platter. So you get like the chicken fingers, the mozz sticks, the nachos, the chips and all that, the accoutrement in there, if you will.
As Van Halen says, it's the best of both worlds, you know. You get it all.
That's right.
Variety is the spice of life. I think Oscar Wilde said that. And then he said carpe diem, eat more donuts.
Exactly.
God, he was so prolific.
Very. He was a scholar. What is your go-to appetizer at Applebee's?
I'm a mozzarella stick guy.
I love them too.
My grandparents, the RIP, when they were with us, they lived in St. Louis. Ah. So I remember going to Little Italy in St. Louis, Missouri, which was where fried raviolis were invented, believe it or not.
I did not know that.
So, yeah. So give me all that fried cheese, fried ravioli, all that kind of good stuff.
Good. All right. Well, Joe says he needs a second base and a 15 teamer on NFBC. You're at your alley here, Britton. How much fab are we dropping on Chase Meadroth this weekend? So we're getting a little ahead of ourselves for the Sunday waiver wire show. But how much are you looking to spend out of a $1,000 budget?
All right. So the reason why I'm so much in love with Chase Meadroth is because he gets on base, he walks, he's a contact hitter, kind of in a Jacob Wilson style. Like, he's just a good hitter.
Yep.
So kind of like a Stephen Kwan, like Jacob Wilson has broke out. Y'all know Jacob Wilson is hitting 396.
Yeah, that's insane.
For the A's as a rookie. I think Chase Meadroth is in that same vein. So, like, batting average help is hard to find. He's not going to hit a whole lot of home runs. Mm-hmm. He only hit 7 in AAA. He's going to steal 13, 15-ish bags. He led the minors in walks last year. He's going to get on base. He's a good hitter. So I think at some point, you know, they're going to bat him leadoff. So here we are. What's the April 11th? It's April 11th. I think he's so good at getting on base that they're going to bat him leadoff for the rest of the year. And I think that, as we always say, plate appearances are the key to fantasy success. So that's why I think he's worth going a little bit above and beyond. So I would do 9% of my budget to get Chase because of the impact he's going to make for the rest of the season. Now he's a rookie. He plays for the White Sox. And as you know, the White Sox have a way of draining all the love and happiness out of people's souls, especially their players. See Lewis, true. Robert Jr.
That is true.
But Chase Meadroth is a special hitter. I've looked at all his minor league stuff. Literally, like, his OPS has never been below 800. Mm-hmm. Like, every level, he's just hit.
Yeah.
So that's my Chase Meadroth spiel for the Chicago White Sox. He's batting 7th tonight. I think in a couple weeks he'll be batting 1st for the rest of the season. And if he doesn't, then I'm just going down with the ship. But, you know, I just like good hitters that take their walks and get on base, because things happen after that, even with the White Sox. What do you think? Have I beat this horse this drum so much that you're just so sick of it, like you can barely handle it?
No, I think this is I think 9% is maybe a little bit higher than I'm willing to do. I'm probably looking at like 5-6%, simply because of the fact of what you just said with the Chicago White Sox being just a dark cloud of an organization. But if his spot improves and he's hitting leadoff, that's going to change things up a bit for me. But the other thing with it is too, is like, realistically, how many runs does he score? Power, RBIs, those kinds of things is going to be tough to do hitting out of that leadoff spot. Chase Meadroth, and there's another question here: is he a good prospect? Yes, he very much so is. He came over in the Garrett Crochet deal, if I'm not mistaken, when they traded him from Boston or to Boston. So, I mean, here's the thing too: like, we're early on in the season, so I'm not going hog wild. I think, Britton, you may be onto something here too, because the more that I think about it, there's not really anybody probably really too sexy out there that people are going to be bidding on this weekend, at least. It's still, you know, still got a couple days left of this week for things to happen and people to be called up and things like that. But I think it's going to probably cost you at least anywhere between 8 and 12%, somewhere in that range of your fab to get him.
Yeah, it's like if Perdomo's gone,
yeah,
Kyron Paris is probably gone. Like, this guy could be a good consolation prize.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in an OBP leg, then you have to get him. He led the minors in on base percentage by like 45 points. I don't mean like his league. I mean the minors.
Yeah.
So he's an elite on base percentage guy. And I just think there are all kinds of good things that come with that. So, but now I promise I will stop talking about Chase Madrona.
That's all good, man. That's what we were talking about. He's the big buzz. You talked about him prior to the start of the season. So I am rooting for you. I hope Chase Madrona hits the ground running, pun intended.
Him and Chandler Simpson for the Rays were my two most stashed draft champions, draft and hold guys. So
there you go.
Yeah.
EA All Day says, in my head-to-head Cats OPS league, I went heavy on power and light on steals. Only steal guys are Witt, Wood, and Gunner. Would you drop Solaire for Younghoe Lee? I personally would if you're light on steals. Solaire has been relatively hot at the plate recently with the power. So I actually like Jorge Solaire. I talked about him earlier this week as a good power guy. That's what you're getting out of Jorge Solaire. That's who he is. That's what he's always been and what he always will be. So I sounded like Bret Hart there a little bit, right? I'm the best there was, the best there is, the best there ever will be. So here's the thing though, like realistically, how much speed are we expecting from Younghoe Lee here, Britton? Are you a fan of this move, and what do you think he ends up with stolen base wise?
I like Jorge Soler, so I don't think I'd drop Jorge Soler because I think he's going to hit home runs. For some reason, that team is super hot. I don't know if anyone has noticed. West Coast, it's hard to keep up. But, Younghoe Lee's also on a West Coast team. But anyway, but if you need steals, you need steals. Here's somebody I would take a look at. No, I like Younghoe Lee. He's going to bat, what, third at the Giants?
And he's scoring runs, and he's got a high batting average too. So, which is something that also
I agree. You know, you got to do what you got to do, EA. But man, I don't know if I'd drop an elite power bat like that. I would try to find somebody else. But I do like Younghoe Lee.
There you go. Yeah, EA All Day. If you got somebody else on your bench, maybe some other candidates, let us know and we can help you out. All right, everyone's wishing you happy birthday in the chat here. Britton says.
I appreciate that.
Eddie says, Britton, you were great solo last Sunday, and the show is just as awesome with the two of you. I can't stomach other podcasts. You guys rock. Buffalo wings, the appetizer to go with. All right. Hey, I'm a big Buffalo wing guy myself. Britton, are you speaking of Buffalo wings really quick?
Yes, sir.
Two questions with Buffalo wings. Are you a drum or a flat guy?
I'm not a Buffalo wing guy. I will. Eddie, you're awesome. I appreciate all your kind words, but I cannot lie. I must tell the truth. I've never been a Buffalo wing guy. I just think it's like you're not getting a whole lot of bang for your buck, you know? Like you pick it up and you gnaw on the thing a little bit, and then that's like it. It's over, and you got crap all over your face. And that's fine. I'm not against it. But, you know, it just doesn't do that much for me. Now, I'm a fried chicken guy, which is just a bigger version, and a hot chicken guy, Nashville hot chicken, which is just a bigger version. I've never been a wing guy. I do like wing sauce though, but sometimes I just dip my finger in it and then just take a little lick. But I'm not against wings or anything like that, but it's not the first thing I would order. What about you, Mike V? Are you a big wing guy?
I do like me some wings. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a big wing guy, but I do like wings. Here's the thing. I'm a big wing guy during football season, I will say. I think it's a good wing football food. But I am very much a drum guy, not a flat. And that's a very unpopular opinion I heard. So I just prefer it. I think it's easier to hold. I feel like, you know, with the flats, you got to like poke your finger through it or something like to get all the meat off. I feel like with a drum, I can just spin it and eat it. And it just makes it easier. But I agree with you. So.
You know, and there was one time in college, it was like at a Buffalo Wild Wings, where a friend of mine did one of those contests, you know, you see one of those eating contests, and I saw him eat like 99 wings.
Ooh.
And then I saw what happened to him the next day, and I was
going
to
say,
Yeah, I think I was traumatized by that event.
Yeah, I can only imagine that. That sounds like a trip to the bathroom for sure after 99 wings. Kyle D, he's a guy that him and I interact a lot with on Twitter, with each other on Twitter. He wants to know, hold Adelis Garcia or should he stash guy like Nick Kurtz, Cat League 10-team, 3 outfielder? Kyle, here's the thing with a 10-team league, and if you don't have the IL or the, I'm sorry, the NA capability here, I don't know when we're going to see Nick Kurtz, right? I hope we see him soon. The guy's been lighting up AAA. He's got nothing left to prove. He's got stupid easy power, but I don't know if we see him in a week, 2 weeks, or if we see him sometime in May or June. I don't really see a path for him right now to be on the team and start regular. So Adelis is playing, he's starting. I don't know if I'm, if Adelis is a starter, I would assume maybe he's in a 10 team or he's a starter on your team. But I personally wouldn't do this. But Britton, what do you think?
Yeah, I got to hold Adelis. I don't know when Kurtz is coming up. Like they signed Seth Brown, like to a, you know, like unless there's an injury and maybe like Tyler Soderstrom did kind of, you know, they held him back one day. So keep your eye on Kurtz, but I don't think I don't think you're going to see him unless there's been a couple injuries for Nick Kurtz until the fall. Like he's going to come up this year.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be like when rosters expand.
I think they'll bring him up a little bit sooner than that. I mean, the way he's hitting, he's pretty much pushing their hand, being like, hey, like, you know, all the dude does is hit home runs. He has been striking out quite a bit, though, and I just realized that, you know, earlier today. They're probably going to want him to cut down on the strikeouts. It's a big leap from where he's at to the major league. So with Kurtz, I do think that he has potential to be up sometime May, June. I don't think it's too far-fetched. The problem is where do you play him? With all the guys that they have on the team right now. So like Britton mentioned, it's going to take an injury to do that. Now, I talked about it earlier this week as well, Britton, on my notes, that him, Bubba Chandler, as well as Zebby Matthews are guys that I'd be looking to stash. But I also made this point and disclaimer, it depends on who you're dropping. It depends how deep your league is, if it's redraft, if it's dynasty, if you have NA space or not. All of those things matter. And would it surprise you to know, Britton, that none of those guys, as of this morning, were more than 20% rostered in Yahoo formats? So,
yeah,
I think you can go out and get these guys when they do get called up. But if you have the roster flexibility to stash them now, I don't think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't. In a 10-team league, I don't know. I don't think you need to stash.
No, not in 10-team. You're right. Yeah. This is 12-team and deeper. So in 10-team, I think there's too many good players on the waiver wire. And especially if your rosters aren't necessarily expanded, there's going to be a lot of talent out there that can help your team win now, instead of burning a roster spot, for Kurtz.
No, I like Kurtz a lot. And by all indication, he's going to be a Kyle Schwarber type great hitter slugger, you know, maybe obviously no one knows.
Yeah.
But but look on in a 10 team, I would try to go find like Cameron Misner or Mangum or one of those Rays players, because the Tampa Bay Rays are going on a 10-game home stretch.
Yep.
10-game home stretch in that park, that AAA park in Florida. I would be like, go to, if you're in a 10, 12 team, go pick up those Rays randos, as I call them, because the Angels hit 6 home runs the other day, and yes, they have good power hitters, but it's not like they're, you know, the Lou Gehrig Yankees or something.
Yeah.
Like the ball, if you even just watch the highlights, the ball flies out. It made Joe Adele look like Babe Ruth out there in Florida. So any of the, I would go right now to your 10 team, 12 team waiver wire and see about Misner, Mangum, or even Jose Caballero, who hit a home run out there the other day. Like, we're talking 10 games of mashing. So I love a short ad of plays like that. Like, Misner is batting 6, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to get on base. I think the Tampa Bay Rays have got some good matchups coming up. So I don't think you need want to stash prospects. I think you want to pick up these players that are going to hit in probably the friendliest ballpark in Major League Baseball right now, which is the AAA park in Florida.
Yeah, and this is the thing too. I don't mind those picks. I think that what you said makes a lot of sense in terms of the home games. The issue I don't have an issue with the players. I have an issue with Kevin Cash, and where he's going to be mixing and matching his lineup, which is something that's very frustrating unless you're a guy like Brandon Lau, and some Junior Caminero. Those guys are going to play every day. But
Aranda, go pick up Aranda too, and yeah. He does platoon. But man, that dude hits.
Curtis Meade, same thing. Like he swaps these guys in and out constantly. So that's the only thing I would be weary of when playing some of these guys. But for the most part, they should be in the lineup on most days.
Yeah, even Chris Morrell, I would take a look. Chris Morrell plays every day against lefties and righties.
Yep,
and he bats fifth. Like he's going to heat up at some point. Yep. I would definitely try to do that. But that Brandon Lau pick, Mike V, that you and I talked about before the season. Batting second, I don't know. I don't want to jinx it.
He hit a he just lined out to left field, went the opposite way just right now. But yeah, I like this home stretch coming up for the Rays. And as it gets hotter out, that ball's going to be flying out of that ballpark. So good call. Frank wants to know here, Britton, David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar?
Oh wow, talk about two totally separate situations now. I like them both. Yeah. But of course I think, you know, the jump, like I remember when I was, God, what was I 8, 9 years old? I had the cassette tape, with Van Halen, and it had a baby cherub smoking a cigarette with a tattoo. It was back when they had cassette tapes, Mike.
Like, I had some.
You had a cassette. Did you go through the cassette tape? Were you alive?
First cassette tape I ever had was Pink Floyd.
That shows character.
Another Brick in the Wall. That was my first cassette tape.
There you go. I knew you were a rebel from day one.
Yep. Yep.
I do like that Van Halen Hot for Teacher, one of my favorite songs. Mm. But I like Sammy Hagar too. I know it's not as cool, but my first CD ever was Van Halen's OU812. And even though I was too young to know what the track Black and Blue was really about, or Finish What You Started was about, that whole thing was about sex. I didn't have a clue. I was, you know, however years old. Yeah, I didn't know. But that was the first CD. I'll never forget it. I got it for Christmas. You know, my parents didn't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's called OU812. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There's
So you're going with
I'm straddling the fence. I'm not taking a side. Oh. It's like trying to pick between two of your kids. Like, hey, look, they're different, but they're great. You know, they're both great. And I kind of grew up with both of them just, you know, at certain points. But do you have a strong opinion?
I don't I like both. I'm with you. But if I had to pick, I'm going David Lee Roth here. So
sure. I get it. I mean, yeah. That was the 70s and early 80s, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it went into the 90s. And what was that song that had the video that won all the awards? Right Now? You know, Right Now. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Not tomorrow.
Right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, is Right Now as cool as Hot for Teacher? No.
No.
But it's just different. It's like comparing, like, is Michael Jordan as good as LeBron James? Like, I don't know. Like, they were great in their day. You know what I mean?
That's right. Frank wants to know, he dropped in. I don't know if he's asking us or telling us. Dropped injured Eflin for Taijuan Walker for 2 starts next week. All right, so we did. Taijuan Walker gets San Francisco and Miami, or Easton Lucas. Okay, he's asking us, should he drop Eflin? Or should he go Easton Lucas versus Seattle, Mitchell Parker versus Pittsburgh, Stroman versus Kansas City, Bido versus the White Sox, and a smart fab bid? Well, Frank, here's the thing. If you have the IL space, Eflin's going to be out a while. Depends on how deep your league is. I don't mind dropping him necessarily. Of these, though, I'm not touching Taewon Walker with a 40-foot pole. I've seen enough of him. I know he's got San Francisco and Miami next week. I kind of like Easton Lucas, Britton. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to look at his previous two starts, but struck out 8 guys recently, and he gets the weak-hitting Seattle Mariners next week. I know it's not a two-start week like Walker is, but I'm kind of intrigued by Easton Lucas. What are your thoughts here? I think my runner up would be Mitchell Parker.
Great minds think alike. I wrote two things that I wanted to talk to you about. Number one was the Tampa Bay Rays home stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Easton Lucas and how he outdueled Garrett Crochet against the Red Sox.
Yep.
So now when Max Scherzer comes back, do they kick Easton Lucas out of the lineup? Maybe. But when does Scherzer come back, or does he? I don't know.
They could go six man though.
Yeah.
Keep him healthy.
Yeah. That's a great point. So Easton Lucas has been great. He kind of reminds me of like Tobias Myers last year, like that rando that you pick up. And for some reason, like he just keeps making good starts. Like, and his ERA is 3 or lower, and his WHIP's 1.1, and you don't know why, but you watch the games, and he's in control, and he's hitting his spots. You know, just things are falling right for Easton Lucas of the Toronto Blue Jays. And the Seattle Mariners are, like, literally the worst-hitting team. Although Randy Arozarena hit a grand slam the other day, but whatever. I mean,
he's batting 191. He's still
– that was a good hit. I get it. Yeah, so, you know, I like – So Easton Lewis for the Blue Jays against Seattle. I'm with you. Mitchell Parker, you know his ERA is under 1 this year so far, and I know it's only a couple starts.
But he gets Pittsburgh too.
He gets Pittsburgh too, which is arguably even worse than Seattle from a hitting standpoint.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like those two guys. I have zero interest in Stroman.
Same.
Bido, lukewarm. But I would go after Easton Lucas. Okay. Agreed. I mean, doesn't he kind of have, and plus on the same team, doesn't he kind of have Bowden Francis vibes a little bit?
Yeah, he does. I got a couple Blue Jays in my home league. Kevin Gausman, which I was very happy about the 10K performance the other day, which I do want to touch on very quickly. We'll go back to it. But I also picked up Chris Bassett as a shallower format. It's a 10 team in my home league. But
he's been on a roll.
I picked him up like 2 weeks ago, and he's
you've got good starts.
Yeah, he's been insane. And we could be looking at 2023 version of Chris Bassett when he went 16-8 with a sub-3 ERA. So I think that's repeatable, Britton. I think Easton Lucas gives me very much Bowden Francis vibes as well. So Frank, you heard it here first from both me and Britton. Both of us go like Easton Lucas, and then we like Mitchell Parker second. So
it's like this, Mike V, as you know. In order to maximize odds, you have to buy the most scratch-off tickets. Now, I don't know about you, but buying the Lucky 7 scratch-off thing is downright depressing. But you don't. But if you're going to do it, don't buy one. You're wasting your money.
Yeah,
you buy 100.
Buy 100. You're bound to win,
right? And so that's what we do. Buy Easton Lucas, buy Mitchell Parker, and take your best shot.
There you go. Yeah, Frank, if you can add both, I like adding both of them. I don't know if there's another SP that you can drop. Eflin for sure, if you don't have the IL space. But it's going to be a while with a lat strain for him anyways. So if you can add Easton Lucas and Mitchell Parker, I don't mind that at all.
Mitchell had some good starts last year. He hit a wall and got beat and got lit up some there at the end, but I mean, he kept going. He kept rolling himself out there, regardless of how he felt. And so, hey, you know what? Maybe he's figured something out. So why not take a shot? Like, you know,
it's a good matchup.
If you took a shot on Bowden Francis last year, you made money. If you took a shot on Tobias Myers last year, you made money.
Yep.
So these players are going to come up and do well. So these two are doing well currently.
Yeah. El Diablo wants to know, is Chase Meadroth better than Luis Rengifo or Dylan Moore? Britton, would you take Meadroth over both these guys or one?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I have a special place in my heart for Rengifo. A year or two ago, I had this run line bet on the Angels, and it was 3-2, and he belted a 3-run home run to make it 5-3 to cover the run line. Mm-hmm. Now, that is the most random reason one game, one hit to like a player, but I can't say anything bad about Luis Ringo for the rest of my life. Thank you, Luis. Dylan Moore has actually been, you know, always been a base stealer.
Yeah.
But I don't really, I don't really want any Seattle Mariners hitters if I can help it. Like Julio Rodriguez, or Cal Raleigh. Like I just really don't. But Dylan Moore, like, his average has always been terrible. You're looking at a 200 average, but he has started to make, like, walk a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's intriguing, but obviously, I think Chase Meadroth is going to be their leadoff batter for the White Sox at some point. I think no matter how bad it gets, they have no reason to send him down.
No.
They traded for him for Garrett Crochet. Sosa plays, I think he's playing first tonight, but nobody on the rest of that infield needs to play, you know, except Chase.
Right.
So I'm taking a shot on Chase, long story short. What about you?
Okay. Okay. This is Theodore from Kevin and the Chipmunks. You're listening to my favorite fantasy baseball podcast, the Polanco Podcast. Okay. Two arrows, two Z's.
Okay. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm not dropping him for I am dropping him for Dylan Moore. I want nothing to do with him. I understand that he's been hot recently and he's kind of the flavor of the week. He doesn't play enough. They're inconsistent with his playing time. I know he qualifies at like five different positions, but this is like the Seattle version of like Kike Hernandez. So and he's in and out of the lineup too much for me to for right now to definitely do that. So I would take Chase Meadroth over Dylan Moore. I would not do it over for Luis Rengifo. I think, again, too early on to drop him. There was a point in the season last year when Rengifo was hitting home runs and stealing bases, scoring some runs. The Angels are hot. I can't bring myself to do that yet.
Those are great points.
So I would I would take Meadroth over Moore, but not over Rengifo.
That's a great point. Yeah, Rengifo is probably the way to do it. The only thing that worries me is that he's kind of injured.
Yeah.
Like currently, I know he's playing through it and all, but I think Rengifo is injured or going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for the questions. Keep them going. Well, real quick, Britton, I wanted to talk about Kevin Gausman. Went 8 innings, 10 Ks against the Red Sox. I had a lot of people ask me, should I start him? Should I sit him on my bench this week? And as you know, my spiel here is I never sit SPs. If you're on my team, you're playing an Exhibit A for that reason, right? On paper, going into that, was that a bad matchup for Gausman, especially after the game that he had last week, the week prior? Of course. But at the same time, too, I would rather deal with the blow up as opposed to miss out on the gem. So and he threw that against the Red Sox. Very, very good start. Very, very promising start at that. If you're a Kevin Gausman owner, you feel good going into his next start. I was very, very happy. I started him everywhere that I have him. He's one of my most rostered SPs across my six leagues. So very happy to see that. Now, not saying that it happens all the time, because it very well could have gone the other way and we could have been talking about a different segment here and my thinking may have gone astray in terms of what I do moving forward. But again, for the 95% of the time, I'm going to be starting guys. Now, the only reason why I wouldn't do that, if I'm playing in a cats league or a points league or something along those lines, and I'm up and I don't want to blow up my ratios or something along those lines, and I'm already up by quite a bit, maybe I don't want to blow my margins or my ratios here and say, hey, I'm good, I'll let him sit. But earlier on in the week, you're starting, baby. So the only time maybe I'd think about it is like on a Sunday.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that strategy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's like in blackjack, if you're at the blackjack table in Vegas or wherever, mm-hmm. and you know, you're sitting with somebody, like, just be consistent. If you hit soft 16 every time, great.
Do it.
Yep. If you don't, you don't. Great. But yep. just take a position, you know, right. that in that way, I know what's, you know, what my thinking is.
Right. And I can count the cards up here. Right.
Yeah. Hey, look, we only play one shoe blackjack. I mean, what are we, suckers?
Right. Exactly.
What is this, Starkville, Mississippi? Am I 90 years old? No.
Right. Yeah. Rick Link, he says, I think I asked you before dropping Eugenio Suarez, but he's also always my target. This week, I want Manzardo. Someone dropped him. I think more upside, but Suarez is consistent. Am I overreacting again with another Eugenio bad week? 10-man, 10-keeper, head-to-head cats. Maybe I just like chasing upside too much. Thanks. I'm not dropping Eugenio Suarez. I know he's – this is who he is. This is what he does. But he is one of the most consistent hitters. If you take a look at his numbers are going to be there in the end. He's going to give you kind of a lower batting average, maybe 230, 240, with 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. It's almost a guaranteed lock. I think he's done it now 3 or 4 straight seasons in a row. And like every hitter, maybe a little bit more for Eugenio Suarez, he has his cold streaks. And when they're cold, they're cold. But when he's hot, he is hot. If you remember, Britton, beginning of the season, man was hitting dingers left and right, and everybody wanted to be a part of it. So I like Manzardo too, but I'm not dropping Eugenio Suarez. He's a consistent power bat. I think you got to keep him, but I would be looking maybe to add Manzardo if you have another person to drop. What do you think here?
Yeah, I think you're right. With players like Eugenio Suarez that run hot, run cold, you just if you've made the commitment, I've drafted him, he's on my team, then you've just got to keep them through ups, downs, and everything, because you just can't play it both sides. Like, you just have to ride it out, just set it and forget it. Yeah. Because on a slugger like that, they're going to go a month and hit 10 home runs, and then a month where they hit 0 home runs. Mm-hmm. Or if you're in a 10 team league, then you just constantly churn and burn, right? So you just got to, like, what kind of league is it? What's the philosophy? But, Eugenio Suarez had a absolute scorching end to the season. Somehow it carried over to the beginning of this season. So it's tough, Mike V. It is tough to see all that production, you know, to cut it loose. And yeah. I like Cal Manzardo. He's got this mustache thing going. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you've seen him recently. Yeah, he's got this cool mustache thing. He's always had power. He had a killer Arizona Fall League called Cal Manzardo for the Guardians. But it's not a great place to hit. It's not a great team context. So, yeah. So I'm hanging on to Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, he said, I've tried shopping him to get an arm, but I think I missed the window. The 178 average isn't helping this week. Yeah, here's the thing, Rick, and everybody listening. Never sell at the lowest point, right? And that's where you're at with Eugenio Suarez. If you're looking to deal him and you're like, hey, I just don't want to deal with the ups and downs and the roller coaster ride that comes along with it, sell high when he goes on one of his heaters and he starts hitting, 4 or 5 home runs. And that's going to be really difficult for you to do that if you're watching all that production and be like, why the hell would I get rid of him if he's mashing mammos out to left field in Arizona every week? But if you want to get an arm and you want to shop him for an SP, sell high. Don't sell at his lowest point, Rick. So right now, I think what we're saying is hold. And if you want to deal him at a later time, just wait till he gets hot again. All right. Britton, a couple things I want to talk about real quick. Just some things I talked about earlier. I wanted to get your thoughts on it here. As you know, there wasn't a full slate of games last week. And I talked about this on my notes earlier this morning. A couple guys that I'm watching closely this weekend, and I wanted to get your thoughts mainly on a couple here and the ones that stood out for me. First one I want to talk about is Casey Mize of the Detroit Tigers. Two really, really good starts to start the season. He gets the Minnesota Twins this weekend. He's only 53% owned in Yahoo right now. What are your thoughts on Casey Mize moving forward, and is this real, or is this something to kind of hold out on?
It's real. It reminds me of the Seinfeld episode. They're real and they're fabulous. Casey Mize.
Love that show.
I love that. It's on Netflix. Like, every now and then if I need to laugh, I'll put on Seinfeld, because that was during the 90s, right? Like literally like 1990 to 1996 or something like that.
Yep.
But anyway, I digress. That was Terry Hatcher, by the way. Shout out, Terry. They are fabulous. Anyway, so yeah, Casey Mize. Sorry about that. First overall pick, number one. First round, first overall, Casey Mize from the Auburn University. I like the whole Tigers situation.
So do I.
They've got great starters. They've got a great manager. They've got a great place to pitch, their home Comerica. I like their hitters. I like Kerry Carpenter hitting second, hopefully against lefties and righties. Like I'm into Detroit. I'm into the Detroit pitching staff. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like Cleveland in 2016, when Cleveland had Trevor Bauer, Kluber, Danny Salazar, and Carrasco in his heyday. Like just that solid group. And then do you happen to remember who the closer was? I think his last name was Shaw. Does that ring a bell? Cody something. I can't remember. Anyway, so that's the kind of vibes I get from Detroit. So Casey Mize, Jack Flaherty, Reese Olson, Tarek Skubal. Like this is a great staff. It really is. So I'm in on Casey Mize. I wish I had drafted more of him. I do have a lot of Jack Flaherty. I do have a ton of Reese Olson. You know, we talked about him a bunch preseason.
Yeah.
And I'm in on that. I'm in on that staff and ballpark. What do you think?
I am too. And I think Gove talked about it as well, because he's a Tigers guy on this show. He's just got to stay healthy. And he hasn't been able to do that in his career. But if he's able to stay healthy, I like him a lot, at least in the short term, a churn and burn type guy, maybe a spot starter. I mean, I'm not dropping anybody of value. I think this is somebody that you can add if you need SP on depth. And if he starts sucking it up or blowing or gets hurt, you can easily cut him. That's kind of where I'd lump Casey Mize in right now. You couldn't ask for a better matchup in Minnesota too, especially if Byron Buxton's not going to play. And they already have a couple other guys hurt, like Royce Lewis. So I think you have a good matchup there, and I believe it's at home, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's in Detroit. So give me all the Casey Mize here. Next guy I want to talk about real quick here, Britton, from the hitting side is, and we already kind of touched on him, is Geraldo Perdomo for Arizona.
Yes.
I feel like we get this from him every year, where he's kind of like Eugenio Suarez, where he kind of ebbs and flows. They just paid him, which kind of sucks for any of your dynasty people out there that have Jordan Lawler, who hit his first home run yesterday, by the way. Any thoughts on Perdomo here, and where should people be looking to add him? Is he a 12 team guy, or is he deeper, or is he add everywhere?
I think he's a 12 team guy. I think he's a great MI, because if you look at where they bat him, it's either first or second. Like, the organization loves Geraldo Perdomo. Obviously they just signed him to a big contract.
Yeah.
He's become like kind of the leader of the team for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Perdomo has been hitting. He's not a huge power guy, but he does kind of a little bit of everything. And if he keeps batting second in the lineup, in a lineup like Arizona, which is going to have its ebbs and flows, but it's a great place to hit in Arizona. So, yeah, I think Perdomo is legit. It's kind of like if Kyren Paris and Geraldo Perdomo are on the waiver wire, like, I know how hot Paris has been. I know that. But I pick up Perdomo because his spot in the lineup is more secured. And, you know, Paris is on a super hot streak, but you know what happens to super hot streaks. They end. He's going to go 0 for 20 at some point. Perdomo's never going to go 0 for 20. He's never going to have this hot streak, but it's going to be steady as she goes. Shout out, Raycon Tours. Steady as she goes. Perdomo producing, accumulating. I think we missed. Kyren Paris has had the best week of his career, and he's talented. And Aaron Judge is hitting coach. Like, yeah, I get all that. But at the end of the day, like, it's just not going to last. It's just not, Mike. It's like your romance in high school. You think it's going to last forever. You think you've met the person that's you're going to marry. You love this person. First person you ever kissed or whatever. You think it's going to go forever. You know what? It's over by next year, in a month. So, Perdomo, your college girlfriend you meet when you're a senior in college.
Uh-huh.
Kyron Paris, that hot summer of love when you're a sophomore in high school. So I want to marry Perdomo.
There you go. Andy Bell says, Kyron Paris gives me Akil Badu vibes. Yeah, like here's the thing. And I'm actually interested. I'm glad we're talking about Kyron Paris too, right? Because his playing time was a little bit inconsistent. There was a shot where he hit one of his home runs and Ron Washington's like his cheerleader. He's like clapping his hands real loud and up and cheering for him. So I think his playing time is going to be a little bit more consistent moving forward. It'd be absolutely terrible to sit him at this point. Like Ron Washington should get fired if that happens. I mean, arguably their hottest hitter, but I'm interested to hear your take on this here too, Britton, because I do have a couple shares of him. And some deeper formats. Would you be looking to sell high? We talk about selling high and buying low. Would you be looking to sell high on Kyron Paris to address another area of your team and hoping that somebody else bites and taking him?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think like if you wanted a closer and you could trade Kyron Paris for, let's say, Jeff Hoffman.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
Something like that. I would hop on that in a New York minute. Shout out Olsen Twins. Give me, like, you capitalize on Kyron Paris.
Yeah.
And give me that closer that's going to get 30 saves this year. That, I think that would be a great trade.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect sell high guy. Now he's doing everything. He's been a 5x5 stud to start the season. But like Britton alluded to, this obviously not sustainable. We would love it to be. But I don't think this is something that's going to be sustainable long term on a bad team. So if you can sell high, maybe somebody who lost Ketel Marte and is looking for a guy like Kyron Paris, I think you sell high and address another area of your team if someone's looking to bite and take that. So I mean, his value, here's the thing, Britton, and this is the reason why I bring it up, his value is never going to be higher. You already talked about it, right? You're not going to have another point in the season where you're going to be able to sell him as high as you are right now. So sell high, get something of value for him. I'm not saying that Paris is not going to have value this season. He very well could. He's just not going to be this hot. So I think this is the perfect time to sell high and address another area of your team. Britton, a couple other things I talked about in my notes I wanted to touch and get your thoughts on here is some IL guys to maybe some stash and some guys coming back from injury. Two guys, one pitcher, one hitter, you talking me to. Zach Neto, which is in my little white bubble down here, has been playing more and more at shortstop. Looks like his time is coming and the time is near here for him to be back and looking at next week for him. If you remember correctly, I was a guy that I was hammering Neto in the halfway through the season. I love him. 20 home runs. He's a 2020 guy. I think he stole 30 bases. I think he went 20-30 last year. Zach Neto, batting average, maybe something a little left to be desired, but, and then Clark Schmidt of the New York Yankees, who looks great on his rehab outings, and the Yankees need starting pitching. Do you have any thoughts or interest in Zach Neto and Clark Schmidt?
Zach Neto is the guy to stash out of everyone we've talked about. Chase Meadroth, you know, Paris, Perdomo. I would grab out of all those guys, if they're not on the waiver, but if they were, Zach Neto, I believe, is the one because he literally has the potential to be a top 12 you know, shortstop at his position. When he comes up, he's going to have the rest of the year. I think he's over his injury. His rehab's going great. So yeah, I'm glad you brought his name up because that's somebody to target. If you see Zach Neto out on your waiver wire, grab him and hang on. And then when he gets activated, maybe next week, Mike, and then, you know, stick him at your MI and see what happens. But yeah, that's a great call. Clark Schmidt, I have to admit a little bit of ignorance. I haven't been following Schmidt at all. So, you know, unfortunately, that's one of the things I need to work on. Like, I need to pay more attention to the pitchers.
Yeah. The New York Yankees starting pitcher went 5-5 last year in limited time here, 93 Ks, a 2.85 ERA, and a 1.18 whip. Britton in his first rehab start, he had a shoulder injury. He's working his way back from last year. He completed four scoreless, went three hits, no walks to go along with four strikeouts. And then, I'm sorry, that was his second. But the first one, he had like seven Ks in 3 1/3. So, which is great. Obviously something you want to see. Now, these are minor league guys that he's striking out. But he has some value last year. He's only 54% rostered currently right now in Yahoo. That number will climb when he's activated off the IL. Zach Neto is 66% rostered in Yahoo. And for those of you guys who are wondering, I'm a Yahoo guy. That's why I reference those ownership percentages there. So Neto is still floating around on the waiver wire in some leagues. Make sure he's not floating around on yours. But I agree with Britton. Zach Neto is a guy who gives you a solid pop, solid speed. And if he can increase his batting average a little bit, well, shit, even if he hits 240, 250, I'd be happy with that. So make sure he's not available. He's my number one stash. I would be shocked if he's not back next week. The only thing they wanted to see him do, Britton, was to play the field shortstop, and he played 8 innings, I believe, today or yesterday. I can't remember what it was, but he looks to be back, and I'm looking forward to him getting back in the Angels lineup that seems to be much improved. So
yeah, he's kind of like a Dustin Pedroia type, like just crazy, insane, competitive, hustle guy. Like last year, I don't know if he still does it, but he did that Braveheart face thing, you know, like half his face would be blue. And like, you're like, are you a psychopath? No, he's just really intense, you know? Right. So,
love that. Rick says, while I'm here, I got one more question for you guys. Picked up Sean Murphy and benched Wilson Contreras for obvious reasons. I'm kind of hoping that works itself out in the next week or two. Only one bench spot, and I got Leiter coming back, who I really want to keep. Do you have any thoughts on Contreras and if he's going to figure this out? Other arms are Sasaki, Olsen, Gray, Ober, Pivetta, Bubik. Gonna have to drop someone to keep Leiter. So here's my thing with Wilson Contreras, and we talked about him a lot on Bozo Fest. Sarah Sanchez and Kev were talking about him. He's a first baseman, so the volume there with Wilson Contreras is going to be there. I will say this with every hitter that we're going to be mentioning from here through the rest of April. We're only a couple weeks into the season here, folks. I wouldn't be looking to sell or drop some of these guys quick because they're not having great Aprils. And we've seen it time and time again. Like, I could very well see Wilson Contreras going off in May. Do I think the delta between him and Sean Murphy is high? Probably not if Murphy can stay healthy. But he's also going to be splitting time behind the dish. They don't have Travis d'Arnaud anymore. They have Drake Baldwin, who they said that they want to continue to get his bat in the lineup, and they're going to want to keep Sean Murphy healthy. Wilson Contreras is going to get you volume because he's not playing catcher. He's playing first base. So he's going to be in the lineup most days. So that's something that, again, holds value in itself. So I'm for me, Britton, when Leiter comes back, and if this is a one catcher league, I'm cutting one of these catchers. And if I have to pick one, it's going to be Sean Murphy to keep Jack Leiter. But any thoughts here?
Yeah, no, I agree. You can't cut Wilson Contreras even on a slow start. You just can't. He's going to hit at the top of the order. He's a team leader. Everybody believes in him. It's going to turn around. It's kind of like Rafael Devers.
Yep.
You know, started out like 0-30 or something. One good weekend and, you know, two doubles here, two home runs there, and it's back in business. Yep. And Wilson Contreras has earned the right from a veteran and a team leader standpoint. Like, he's not going anywhere. You definitely don't drop him. But Sean Murphy, he's back, and, you know, that's good. And they kept Drake Baldwin up, didn't they? They didn't send him down.
Nope.
But Wilson Contreras, you just got to ride it out.
Yeah, and I think he'll pick it up at some point. The Cardinals have actually been a halfway decent hitting team. I mean, nobody expected the start they got from Victor Scott. He's off to a great start.
Lars Nootbaar,
Brendan Donovan, he's playing well. Nolan Arenado is off to a decent start as well. So, you know, I could see Wilson Contreras turning around here soon. Now, if you're looking for like the prime Cubby days, those might be a little bit behind him, but he's still going to be a serviceable catcher, and I still think he has potential to finish as a top 10 catcher where Murphy doesn't. So just because of the playing time aspect of it and his injury concerns there with Murph. So, and if I remember correctly too, Britton, didn't Murphy have an oblique injury going into the season? That's why he was on the IL. Was that the reason why he was on the IL?
No, didn't he get hit by a pitch?
That's right. You're right.
And it was something like hit him so bad. I don't hit him in the side. It was like a rib injury or something.
Correct. You're right. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a hit by a pitch.
Right. Okay. So there you go. So, and look at here, Andy Bell says the Braves paid Murphy like he's Pudge Rodriguez and give him 2+ days off every week. Hey, I would love that, man. I'd love to be catching for the Braves, only playing, working 2 days, getting 2 days off every week. Britton, would you like that?
I love it. And one thing about the Braves today is, so last night they played extra innings in a game that had a 4-hour rain delay. It was in Atlanta against the Phillies. Ozuna walked it off in a home run in, I think, the 11th. It was like at midnight. So then the Atlanta Braves hop on a plane, go down to Florida, and they're playing Taj Bradley and the Tampa Bay Rays. Dog tired. I know this is narrative street, but, man, I love Taj Bradley and the Rays. And they're probably playing right now. I don't know.
They are. Taj has gone through 4 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 6 Ks. It's a 1-1 game.
1-1 game? Okay. Yep. So there we go. Well, I was hoping the Rays would open up the scoring a little bit, but you know, but
Bryce Elder's looking good too. But Drake Baldwin is in the lineup. Sean Murphy is not.
There you go.
So
Bryce Elder's looking good. See, this is why I need to stop gambling, Mike V, because I would have lost that bet.
He's gone 3 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, no walks, 1K. So, but yeah. All right, we are coming up on an hour here, Britton. We'll do one more segment here. Anybody that you wanted to talk about other than Chase Meadroth of the Chicago White Sox?
No, my favorite narrative going into coming up in the future is picking up any of those Tampa Bay Ray players that we've talked about. If somebody dropped Chris Morel, Cameron Misner, Jake Mangrum, even Jose Caballero. I know I'm mispronouncing that. I have a speech impediment. You know who I'm talking about. But any of those players for the Tampa Bay Rays with a 10-game home stretch, I love it. That's like my number one thing. Please go check your waiver wire to see if any of those players are available. Morrell's batting 5th consistently. Misner, I believe, is like 6th. It's like having a Colorado homestand. It really is in that Florida ballpark, but the ball flies out. So that would be my number one thing. And if you have the bench space, you know, pick up Chase Meadroth, see where it goes. I think he's going to be the leadoff hitter for the Chicago White Sox in the very near future. So I like him as a flyer.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that. And for me, some guys that I'm watching move to come off the IL soon, very soon, are Zach Neto and Clark Schmidt. Gleyber Torres looks like he's going to get activated today or tomorrow. Ranger Suarez, Francisco Alvarez. I know that we've talked about these guys enough on the show, but if he's been dropped, make sure he's not out there. Grayson Rodriguez and Brandon Woodruff should be back. Woodruff's got a rehab start tomorrow. Grayson Rodriguez threw a bullpen on Monday, so it looks like he's going to be close to a rehab start here soon as well. So make sure those guys aren't floating around. Obviously, it depends on a lot of different settings and things like, you know, who you're dropping, if you have the IL space, you know, your current roster format, all that good stuff. But a couple guys I'm looking into this weekend, Britton, hitters-wise, Geraldo Perdomo, Sal Frelick, Jorge Soler, Cam Smith looks to be picking it up. Chase Meadroth is on this list for me. I hope to see Zach Veen, also a guy we didn't talk about today, but I hope to see
batting leadoff today.
There you go. Brady Singer, who's pitching today, it looks halfway decent, although he just gave up 3 runs. Never mind. Casey Mize, Jackson Jobe, Taj Bradley, Kumar Rocker, and Mitchell Parker. So those are the guys I'm keeping close eyes on. I will not be on Sunday's show, but I will send the boys my picks and who I'd like as a two hitters and two pitchers for you guys for them to kind of maybe speak about on Sunday. But
heck yeah, you know we're going to talk about Easton Lucas. If you can't get enough Easton Lucas talk, and who among us can't? You right. know that's coming up on Sunday. Mike V, great to see you. Always wonderful talking fantasy baseball with you and baseball.
Absolutely.
And thank you to everyone in the chat. I was reading it. I appreciate all the very nice birthday wishes and everybody there. Y'all are the best. Love you guys. Have a great weekend, and you know, check out the Sunday show.
Yep, Sunday 1 p.m. Britton and Govier should be back for that as well. I will not be there. I'll be actually be in Baltimore for the Ravens, the Orioles, and the Blue Jays game. So, my son's first Orioles game. So we're looking.
Oh, that's
forward
so
to that.
Fun. Are you going to sit in those sections with where they do this the water thing?
No,
you
know? No.
Or is it too cold for that?
Yeah, it's going to be 60 degrees, so we probably won't stay the whole game. We got free tickets, so we're really close down to the field, so probably only staying a couple innings, maybe to the fifth or the sixth, but it'll be good for my son to get his first glimpse of an O's fan. He's born into to bleed black and orange here, Britton, so he has no choice. He will be an Orioles fan. So
sounds like he gets his first lesson this weekend. So
he does, baby.
Let's go O's.
He does, absolutely. Britton, you know, it wouldn't be a Friday show, my friend, if we didn't send it off with the captain himself.
Lucky Jack Aubrey. Talk him up, Jack, and go get that French frigate.
See you guys later. See you Sunday.
Right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you, and I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve and discipline. Will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun, quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
Taxes was paying so much to get your taxes done every single year. Now Taxes is getting a TurboTax expert who will beat the price you paid your pro last year, so you get the most money back this year. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Switch to an expert now at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Proof of amount paid may be required. Must sign up by 3/18 and file by 3/25. Subject to terms at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.